If I say Sarah Jessica Parker, you probably think Sex and the City.
There is a good way to break up with someone, and it doesn't include a Post-it.
When I say Matthew Broderick, perhaps you think of the 1986 film Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where he fakes being sick to get out of school.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Well, Broderick and Parker have been married for more than 20 years, and now, for the first time since their wedding, they're in a play together. It's a new production of Neil Simon's Plaza Suite. They're trying out the show in Boston before taking it to Broadway. I sat down with them before a rehearsal at the Emerson Colonial Theater. Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick, welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I can't believe I'm on here now.
It's great to have you on here now.
Love here now.
How does it feel to be doing a stage production together for the first time in a couple of decades, right?
Yes, and this feels very much its own unique, brand new experience because we're working on something from the very beginning and it's like walking into a room with a brand new colleague. It's all possibility and all potential, but that is as terrifying as anything.
Matthew, what about you?
You know, to make these parts that we've seen others do, to make them our own, it's been a long and really fun experience and really a lot of laughs, actually. And, you know, if you're married, you're best friends, whatever, when you're start rehearsal, you're kind of strangers in a way. You don't really know what the other's going to bring to the part or what you're going to bring, and you have to meet and figure out how it all goes together, how it marries, yeah. So it's like any play in a way.
What about the idea of doing a play about love and marriage right now when so many marriages end up in divorce? It seems almost old-fashioned.
I remember one divorce at my neighborhood in like 1971, and it like went through like a serious flu. Like
the first play of these three plays is sort of about a marriage that seems to be ending, or you're not sure if it is, but
it's in crisis.
Yeah,
and they are very much a product of their generation and the way that they're dealing with
she's
it.
She's at home. You know, there's some things about it that are very different now, but there's always. You know, even if you do something that was written in, you know, medieval time, I mean, it's things change on the surface, but human beings and what goes on between them has been going on for a...
What about the Neil Simon connection? This is, I think, your sixth Neil Simon production?
I think it is, yeah. I've always been drawn to him. I mean, before I was an actor, I liked watching, you know, the TV show of The Odd Couple, which he didn't write, but was his idea, and the movie I loved. And even in acting school, people were always giving me, you know, Neil Simon scenes and Come Blow Your Horn or whatever. And I just feel lucky to have, I didn't ever mean it to be that I would work with him or get to this many times. He wrote a sequel to the first play, so that turned into two. They made a movie of one of those, so it turned into three. Mm-hmm. My first movie he wrote... Then I did The Odd Couple. Now, I don't know. I don't know how it happened, but I'm amazed that I've been in two Neil Simon movies and four Neil Simon plays.
What do you think he would think about the fact that the two of you are doing Plaza Suite now?
I think he would be delighted, you know, and occasionally enraged, but then not really. But he, you know, he took this stuff very seriously. He'd be very helpful if he was here, too.
I think if he was witness to... Honestly, what's happening here at the theater, meaning the audience's response.
He could not be happy with that. It was impossible.
I think that he would be... it meant so much to him, these audiences. And there's a reason we wanted to come to Boston. There's a reason we wanted to be in Boston. It's the role that Boston has traditionally played in the road to Broadway. And they are discerning, smart audiences. And there's a reason Neil... wanted to be here. So knowing all that and working so hard to get here, I think, never mind us, the experience the audience is having, their delight, I think, would have made Neil very happy.
Do you prefer to get that reaction from the audience as opposed to doing television or cinema when you don't see how people are reacting exactly?
Well, he works in the theater much more than I do. I just don't think there's any...
You've done quite a bit of it yourself, so...
Yes, but yeah. I just don't think there is any comparison for an actor than being on a stage. It's an actor's medium. There's no one editing your work later. There's mm-hmm. no one interpreting it. There's no audience later telling you what you did 6 months, 8 months, 12 months after you've been on a set and done 20 takes, 17 takes, one take, nine takes. Like... Right?
Yeah.
But it's equally as heartbreaking when it isn't working, you know, to be on a stage and not have a reaction from an audience is as painful as is the extraordinary, you know, so it's a mm-hmm. massive gamble. It's what separates the wheat from the, is it?
Chaff, isn't it?
Chaff?
I don't know. I'm an actor.
I want to ask each of you just about what our listeners probably know you most for, or some of them anyway. Sarah Jessica Parker, obviously, Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City. A show that we were thinking about it, it was influential both in portrayal of female friendship, fashion. It probably encouraged a lot of people to move to New York, young women especially.
That's what I hear, yeah.
What do you think is the legacy of that show?
Well... I'm not good at answering this because I try not to be somebody that's academic about the show, or it sounds like
that's
I've spent a lot
radio
of time.
Is for, Sarah.
But then I feel embarrassed, like it sounds like I've spent a lot of time thinking about the legacy of the show rather than just my good fortune to have been part of something that even gets asked a question. But I guess what I, if forced to answer, I would say that I think there's a few probably important little pieces that it's left. The first is that we got to take sort of the history and amazing work of Mary Tyler Moore and Marlo Thomas and some other great women who were telling stories of being single, and we got to be on a network that allowed for language and environment and circumstances to be simply different. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, I think that the writers were very smart and not, they didn't exploit that. So it changed the way women spoke to each other, and it changed the way television looked at female relationships and sexual politics. I think it also, like, when I walk down the street now, I see groups of four women, or I see on Sunday groups of four or five women sitting and having brunch, and I recognize that as some tiny
came
little
from that show,
thing
you think?
Of those friendships and the idea of your friends are your family and mm-hmm. the kind of commitment and investment you make in those relationships.
And Matthew Broderick, I have to say that I grew up in Illinois in the 1980s.
Oh my.
And could probably recite all of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I've seen it so many times. I hear that you say that people still come up to you and say, Ferris, is this your day off?
Yeah, less, but yeah, it still happens. It always amazes me.
Well, what do you think was the impact of that film? Why did you know when you made it that it would have such a lasting impact?
No, certainly not. John Hughes, though, was already very, very successful. Like, I remember they called him the Spielberg of teen movies or something like that when I first got mm-hmm. sent that script. I think he had such a really great, simple idea that seemed to, I mean, which did resonate, you know. I remember he had kind of a mock-up of the poster before we even made the movie, which said Leisure Rules on it, that a teenager could like leisure in a sort of adult way. And
he was
from advertising.
Oh, really?
So in a way, he started with the ad and then he filled in the movie.
Well, like, you really think
think
conceptually... Which is a very different way of working. Some condemn it because you're like, oh, you're backing into now the end. But as an audience of every John Hughes movie, uh-huh. every single one, I paid for every single one, sometimes twice, he understood what we wanted to see.
Uh-huh.
And it makes so much sense that he came from advertising. Don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
He's very good at what he did. Nobody also...
Well, he was a very
How about
unique...
all his costume and production design? Like, the values were so big in his movies, don't you think?
Absolutely.
So finally, and I know that you have to get back to rehearsal here for this show.
Not really.
Do you still get nervous on stage?
Yes.
Before. If they would simply just remove the rest of your day and just let you, just wake you up, put you on stage.
But imagine actually how awful that would actually be to come to and be like,
no,
oh my
just,
God, I'm on stage.
Just this part. It's once a show is open and running and you're in a not a mind-numbing, don't-care routine, but these are early days for us still, you know, and I mean, the truth is it just means you just still care, which after almost 40 freaking... I mean, sometimes like, why do I care? Why do I
well, care? If this goes but, well, you could both make a career out of this, too.
Which we're
hoping. Let's hope. Fingers crossed.
Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker, stars of the new production of the Neil Simon play Plaza Suite. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And again, the show is playing in Boston before heading to Broadway next month. Details at hereandnow.org.